It's just so lovely to have Bill with us. And Bill, do come. Welcome him. So welcome, Bill.
Thank you very much. I appreciate that. Okay. I actually won't be up here very much, but I can't stand here because the sun's right in my eyes. Okay. No. I'll move. Yeah. I mean, if the sun can move, I can move. When the sun moves, I move. I just thought of that. I mean, yeah. Lord, I thank you for this precious group of people from many different churches. I thank you that some have come from a long distance. Some have come very hungry. Some have been dragged here. That's okay. Sometimes it takes a praying wife or a praying mother or whatever. And so, Lord, I just ask that tonight and tomorrow you would pour out your Spirit. That we would see an empowering. That we would see change. We would see healing. We would see a fresh fire and a passion. There would be such a blessing on these people who have come. So Holy Spirit, I ask that you would come in power and have your way. In the name of Jesus. Amen? Amen. Let's just kind of clear the airwaves because we got a lot of different people from different places, etc. I just want to pray over you first, and have you come into agreement with me. The Bible says that the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of truth. Is that right? Okay. And the Bible says that the Spirit will teach us all things. Am I on solid ground so far? Okay. And in Ephesians 1:17 and 18, it says that we open our hearts, our understanding, that we might have a spirit of wisdom and a revelation of the true Jesus. Is that all biblical?
Yes.
All right, I'm on good ground. Holy Spirit, just in your heart, Holy Spirit, would you come and teach us tonight and teach us truth that we might walk as you walked, we might walk in your glory. Lord, if we have come under any kind of teaching that did not lead to a revelation of the true Jesus, we ask your forgiveness and we say, now come and teach me, Holy Spirit. Amen?
Amen.
Cool. Let me just ever so briefly give you an idea of who I am and why I'm here. I have a passion for doing this. I got touched by God at 47 years old in 1992. You do the math. Yes, I am that old. But I'm still traveling, still doing it. I literally had a mandate from God: heal the sick, teach others to heal the sick, and impart to them what happened to you. I was a what would be known as a nominal Christian. In other words, I went to church. I was in church every Sunday for 13 years, even served as the head usher for 3 years. But I had no relationship with Jesus, never heard about the Holy Spirit or the enemy. In my church, that just was not preached. They didn't preach against healing or the gifts of the Spirit. They just didn't talk about them. And they certainly didn't do them. And I'd never seen anything. I'd never been in a charismatic Pentecostal kind of church. I'd never been in a vineyard or Assemblies of God or any kind of denomination that would speak about those kinds of things. I'd never heard of Benny Hinn. I'd never seen him on TV. I'd never seen anybody raise their hands. I'd never seen anybody worship with guitars and organ and stuff like that, or, you know, keyboard. Until we did have a early morning service come in, and it was more casual, more dressed kind of like this, only it was only really, I don't know, 10 years ago that I got free and I can just wear jeans in church and I can wear my shirt tucked out. And So I had a really sheltered Christian upbringing, if you will, which really wasn't Christian at all. I didn't go to church. And then when my wife said, you know, our daughter needs to go to church. She's at that age. She needs to go to church. We can't just drop her off. So we have to go to church. And through a long series of events, she actually ended up becoming an ordained pastor, spirit-filled. And I was wrapped up in ugly sexual sin and had a secret life that she didn't know about, that nobody knew about. But she would wake up in the middle of the night and lay hands on me and say, God, get him. And she had all her prayer warriors praying for me. And so I went to a meeting one night as she was raising up a prayer team to be able to minister to the homeless people who were sleeping on the patio of their church because the overhangs were such that they could be protected from the weather. And I went to this prayer meeting not knowing what was going to happen, but realizing that God was doing something with my heart. And so I went, and he ambushed me. I didn't know this was going to happen, but the Holy Spirit fell upon me. And when that word is used in Acts, I think it's 10 and 11, it can be translated as that word, he falls, to embrace with affection. Sounds sweet, doesn't it? Sounds nice and gentle. Or to seize more or less violently. Because of probably where I was in my Christian walk, which was non-existent, he chose the latter, and it was violent, but it changed my life. In 3 hours of an encounter with God, I came up off the floor. Yes, I was on the floor. I didn't actually fall down, but I was doing one of these things because of the heaviness of God, and it hurts when you do this for a long time. So I said, can I just lay down? And the woman who was praying for me did. But I will stop and ask the question right now, because this is a healing workshop. And so we're going to have a chance to really look at a lot of things. My point is to get a lot of you healed, not because of anything that I do, but because of what Jesus does, and to get you empowered to do the very thing that I did. I was a commercial real estate agent. I wanted nothing to do with church. I certainly didn't want to be a pastor. And well, my wife passed away 2.5 years ago, and she was my filter. And I almost said something that she would not have liked. I'm not a pastor, and you would not want me to pastor you. Trust me. I'm a teacher and a speaker, and I get to come in and whip everything up, and then I leave and let the pastor explain what happened. So I kind of forgot where I was, but God touched me that night. But the question is this, and I want you to be honest, because he already knows, okay? How many of you have seen people fall under the power of the Spirit, and you've wondered, what's that all about, really? Come on, really. Okay, raise your hand high. Come on, like, it's not a trick question. It's okay. It's okay. You've seen people fall and you've wondered, what's that all about? Why do they fall? Is that right? Yeah. Why do they fall? Because they can't stand up. And it's biblical. You see it in the dedication of the Temple of Solomon. It says that the priest could no longer stand to minister because of the glory of the Lord. When the presence of the Lord comes in, many times it can be so heavy that it touches it. It affects our frail little bodies. To me, it's the power of the universe. It's a wonder that we're not all crispy critters when the presence of God comes in. But it's not about whether you fall or shake or laugh or cry or stand there like an oak of righteousness. It's about, what is God doing with your heart? Are you more in love with him and more willing to do what he says to do? And apparently I was more willing to do what he said to do, because he's had me do some very unusual things that I look back at and say, how did I do that? I mean, he literally called me into ministry. The very first person I prayed for, having never seen it before, not believed in it, got healed. And so with me, it was like a rocket ship. I just started praying for the sick, and I just started seeing incredible miracles. For others, it takes longer, and I don't know why, but My hope is to impart to you so that you start doing the works of Jesus. Each and every one of us. My mentor, a guy named Randy Clark, has a signature message called God Can Use Little Old Me. Now, if that doesn't translate, because we found out it doesn't translate in Brazil. I go to Brazil a lot. We found out that the translator, who was kind of about my stature, he translated for 2 years for Randy. And when Randy would use that statement, God can use little old me, he was translating it, God can use a person of little stature like me. So if that doesn't translate, God can use the ordinary person to do the extraordinary thing. He can use anybody. Man, woman, elder, child, anybody. Anybody who's willing to say, here I am, Lord, send me. So that's what we're going to be doing tonight and this weekend. Let me say just a couple of things and then we're going to get right into it because this is going to be very much interactive. I have a website. It's called dunamis.com. My last name is Dew, D-E-W. It's actually an English name. My family came over to the United States long ago from England. I must have some Chinese blood somewhere because slanty eyes, etc. I get people all over the world tell me, you must have Chinese in your background because look at you. And I do have a very militant prayer language, which comes out at times. I have about five different languages, but there's one that's very militant that comes out, and it is actually an ancient Mandarin dialect. They don't use it anymore, but many Chinese people have come across the room when I have broken out into that and said, how did you learn that? And I said, I didn't learn that. I don't know what I'm saying. I don't really know what I'm doing. But see, that'll encourage you right there. The guy just admitted he doesn't even know what he's doing. But they've said, we recognize some words, and we know that it's an ancient dialect. We don't use it anymore. So it's just kind of God's little joke on me. So I don't know. So my qualifications really aren't one that you would choose, but God chose. And one of the things he gives me the privilege of doing is to seeing people get anointed and rise above me and do things that I haven't done yet. And I'm not jealous of that. I like that. To me, that's just glory. I just met this couple of their pastors, and y'all came from 4 hours away or something like that. But you pastor in Hong Kong, or you have pastored in Hong Kong. Okay, and your friends are Alex and Sharon. And Alex and Sharon came to a meeting that I was involved in many years ago. And Alex told me this afterwards. The only reason they came to the meeting was that he wanted to show his wife that she was involved in a cult. And he told me later, he said, you know, when you spoke on that Friday night, I didn't like you. He said, you were normal. You were calm. People got healed. And you spoke biblically. And then the next morning when your wife taught, I knew I'm totally wrong. And she just floored him. And they bought everything that we had spoken. And they bought the book that I had written at that time. And 2 months later, they were on a missions trip with us to Brazil. They've now been on, I think, at least 6 or 7 trips, looking to go on another trip. They just love doing the stuff, if you will, being able to pray. And so I do have stuff on my website. My last name is spelled D-E-W. My ministry is called dunamis.com, which is a play on words. The word in Greek is dunamis, D-U-N-A-M-I-S. So we just did a play on words. If you're interested in any of the materials of teaching that are on MP3, you could download those. The rest of the stuff, the book and the manuals and things like that, I can't ship out, but you could purchase any of the teaching if you so desired. So I would encourage you there. The other thing is I take teams with me to Brazil. I'm going to Brazil four times this year. I'm going in about 3 weeks now. That trip is closed, but I have a trip in September, October, and November to Brazil where there is major revival. Here's the good thing about going to some place like Brazil. You will pray for more people in a week than most people will pray for in a lifetime. And I promise you, you will see miracles. It is a land of revival. The food is incredible. I stay in nice places. I have a missionary heart, but only to a degree. I have to be honest. I have to be honest, you know. So I stay in a nice hotel. We have translators. We take care of you. And so I would encourage you, if you're interested in knowing about my trips, it doesn't mean you're going, doesn't mean we're going to solicit you for anything. It just means you want to know about the trip. You want to get an email flyer from me telling you about going to Brazil, some of the trips that I do. There will be a place for you to email me with your information, and I'll put you on my list. Okay. What I want to do this weekend for the next tonight and tomorrow, I want to teach a little bit tonight on prayer ministry, because I recognize what I've kind of been told is that there's this congregation and there's many other congregations, and there's people who have come who are maybe are not familiar with prayer ministry, healing, etc. And so it kind of runs the gamut from I'm sort of brand new, kind of like I was. I'd never prayed for anybody, never seen it. Brand new to, yeah, I do this all the time. You know, this is the kind of the normal of my life. My hope and my desire is that you would really catch an anointing, and obviously that there would be healing. And so I think there's going to be. God has backed me up every time. Ever so quickly, just tell them real loud what happened to you. Stand up and tell them what happened to you in the last 2 days, but real short.
The last couple of days, I was given a brand new physical heart.
Wow. You had breathing problems. Just real quick, did something happen to you today?
I have profound high frequency hearing loss, so I can't hear consonants, so I can't hear speech really, so I rely on being able to see. And this afternoon, it's improved a lot. I'm waiting to see but it's a work in progress.
I saw some others who were in our meetings, and now I can't find you. If you got healed to any degree the last two nights in the meetings back in wherever I was, Hove, actually, if you got healed, stand up real quick.
I have deferred pain in my shoulder, which is like a chronic condition, and that's completely gone.
Completely gone. So when the pain is gone, we call that healing. So my message tonight really is, it's not complicated. For me, being as left-brain analytical as I am, having been a commercial real estate agent and now traveling the world doing this, it has to be not complicated. It has to be simple. Having said that, what I want to do tonight is talk a little bit about a prayer model that really works at the church and out in the world. The bottom line is we all need to be equipped. As good as these pastors and several pastors who are represented in this room, as good as they are, the reality is there are people who will not relate to them simply because they carry the title pastor. But they will relate to you because they know you. They're your relatives. You know, the ones who think you're crazy, right? You got some of those? Yeah, I do. They're the people you work with, the people you play with. For me, my mission field outside of the church is the tennis court. People get hurt. Oh, a soccer field. You know, I don't play soccer, but some of you do. Or you have kids who do, et cetera, et cetera. And you know, if you want job security and you have a healing anointing, find a country where soccer is a big deal. Because they all have ankle and knee problems, right? Isn't that true? Yeah. That's why I go to Brazil. That's why I go to Brazil, because they all have hearing loss because they play their music really loud. But we tell you, put in earplugs when you go. So we want to see, you know, you step into something, we want to see healing. And tomorrow I'm going to talk about some things that I learned along the way of 20 years traveling the world. I've been to 30 countries, many of them multiple times. So I've been around a little bit, seen some different cultures, and I've learned some things along the way. We're going to talk about that tomorrow. And then tomorrow afternoon, I'm going to talk about the power of the testimony, which basically we just demonstrated. But I want to talk about a model that really works out there, as well as here in the church. So, if you have pain in your body right now, and it's relatively new, like maybe you have a headache, maybe you didn't sleep well during the night and you had a crick in your neck. Maybe you hurt your hand, your wrist, something that's relatively new, not something you've had for, you know, months and months and years and years and years, but you have pain right now, so it hurts. Maybe you hurt your shoulder, maybe you hurt your finger. Is that anybody? Okay, tell me what's wrong here first. All your head. How long have you had that? Your back. Oh, your back, not your head, your back. And how long have you had that problem?
More than a year.
And you?
Yeah. Me,
yeah, but it doesn't hurt right now.
Not right now.
Okay. Yeah. Yes, sir.
I've had pain in my head for 2 months.
2 months. Okay. And who else? Come on. Yeah. Yeah.
Back pain for the last 2 months.
Back pain for 2 months. Yes, ma'am.
I've got trouble in my heart for the past month.
What about your heart?
My heart. We don't know yet whether I've had a heart attack, but the pain stayed constant for a month.
And so you've got that right now.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. And who else? Yes, ma'am.
Playing tennis, putting my muscle out.
You had a muscle that's been...
In my leg.
In your leg. Okay, I couldn't tell with your arm.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Yeah, and so how does that manifest? Are you in pain right now?
Yes.
So, and about how long has this been?
The injury was about 4 weeks ago.
About 4 weeks, okay, about a month ago.
I can't run.
I understand. I'm a tennis player. So, and walking, is that kind of a problem?
I feel it. Yeah.
All right.
It's getting better.
Stand up? Okay. Now, can you feel that? Can you feel a difference? Like when you stand up, can you feel it right now? Okay. Would it be okay to pray for you in front of everybody? Okay. Why don't you come stand out here and face me? And if I could have a woman who would stand behind her just in case... Somebody, yes, thank you. Appreciate that. Okay, well, just face me. And what is your name?
Angela.
Thank you. I can pronounce that. And you're going to be my catcher just in case. It's not because I want you to fall down. I just want you to feel safe. So concentrate on what God is doing. Yes. All right. When I have a catcher, and I do believe the myth says if it's God, you can't get hurt. You know, that's the myth. Well, sometimes the enemy gets in there, and I've seen people thrown across the room almost, and they didn't even know it. But I've also seen people get hurt when they fall. So in my ministry, I'm still teaching about catchers. I like to use catcher when I pray. When you're in the marketplace, when you're on the tennis court praying for somebody, when you're in the supermarket, when you're next door to your neighbor, you're probably not going to have a catcher. But I... And don't think the power of God won't fall in the supermarket. Yeah, he's sneaky like that. If I stand in front of her and I am my catcher, I can't hold you. I can't catch you. But if I come alongside of you, I can. I can be my own catcher. Okay. But in this case where we're at the church, we have a catcher, and I like to use catchers at times. Okay. My catcher, I like your eyes to be open. I'd like you not to pray out loud while I'm praying, because otherwise it's stereo. I'd like you to, in your case, you've already introduced yourself, but sometimes they don't know somebody's there. So you touch them on the shoulder to let them know that they're there. Then you take your hands away because I don't want them to feel manipulated. And your hands would be like at the lower part, but not touching. But be prepared to rest her all the way down if she should happen to rest in the spirit. Yes, that's a perfect position. Angela, I want you to... put your hand where it hurts the most, if that's, you know, right there. Okay, because I might touch your hand, and I want to make sure that I touch appropriately. If I were to do anything else, that would not be appropriate. Okay. On the other hand, you can just open up. I like a point of contact. Sometimes I use the palm because I want to make sure that I don't have to help God out. Okay? And I want to make sure that I don't push you, that I'm not heavy-handed. It's pretty hard for me to manipulate her with my finger on top of her palm. Okay? I'm not going to do anything weird. I'm not going to shout. I'm not going to push you over. I'm just going to ask the Holy Spirit to come and pray. I just want you to relax. Yeah, that was good. And I don't want you to pray during this time. I want you to just concentrate on relaxing and just let God come and do whatever He chooses to do. And if you feel wobbly, don't worry. We've got you. But I don't want you to fall just because you think I want you to fall. But I don't want you to resist either.
Okay.
Fair enough?
Okay.
Holy Spirit, come. Come on, Angela, right now. I come in the authority in the name of Jesus. Every muscle that is strained and tensed, I just speak the peace of the Lord over her right now. I command every bit of healing to come into her body right now. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Every bit of pain go. Full mobility be restored. Full mobility be restored in the name of Jesus. More, Lord. More. Strengthen her leg. Where there's been tension in the muscles, command it to go. Just command it to go right now. Right now. Right now. Right now. Don't resist. Stop thinking. Breathe in. Take it. Just take it. Take it. There you go. There you go. Just let the peace of the Lord come over you, Angela. Yeah. Okay. Stay in this place of receiving. When you got hurt, what happened? Were you to blame? Was somebody else to blame? Or you just ran for the ball too hard? Whatever.
Just went.
Yeah. Did you ever say something like, oh, I shouldn't have been playing so hard. I shouldn't have been running so hard. I shouldn't have whatever. Okay, that's good. That's good. Okay, just take it. Take it. Okay, that's very good. Okay, let's stop for a second. Let me check in. I want you to open your eyes. Move a little bit. Check your body. Just see if there's any... Okay. So... Okay, at first I... Okay, at first I thought she was grimacing in pain. What it was, she was surprised. You thought so too. But I think she was surprised. So how is that?
That is loose, yes.
Can you just kind of trot or do whatever? Okay, my catcher, you just did an excellent job. And Angela, you did so good. But let me just say this. Now, if that pain tries to come back in any way, don't let it. That's the enemy trying to afflict you. And you have the right to stand on James 4:7. Submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee. Absolutely. And sometimes the pain does try to come back, and we have the right to contend and fight for our healing. Amen? May you go hit the ball like Roger Federer or Serena Williams. Yeah. Conta? Is Conta? Conta is a... She's British, right? Conta? Yeah. See, I know some tennis. Okay, let me just tell you what that was, and then we'll talk about it. That was what's called a five-step prayer model. It basically five steps. First one, interview. Find out what's going on, where does it hurt, how long, when did it start, things like that. Then your step number two, diagnostic. Is it a natural condition, or is it something spiritual? Like maybe there's some unforgiveness or whatever. The third, pray for effect and actually do the prayer. You're not interceding now for Barkham. You're praying specifically for her hip. Number four, re-interview. Check in every once in a while. I see people sometimes praying long, wordy prayers, 20 minutes down the wrong road, when if you'd have stopped after 2 minutes and found out if anything was going on, or noticed if anything was going on, and found out that nothing was happening, then you kind of step back in the spirit and say, what am I missing? Where do I go? If you spend 20 minutes, whereas you could have spent 3 or 4 and gotten 5 people healed, you know? So number 5, after prayer direction. So that's really what you just saw. It's a 5-step model. I'm not trying to tell you that this is now the way you should pray. I believe that you should submit yourself to the authority of your church. And this does not mean that you're now automatically on the prayer team. What it means is you're now taking steps to get equipped if you've not ever done this. Or maybe you're getting some food for thought to think about how you pray and to add that to your mix. It's not that this is the only way to pray. It's just that it's a model that really works around the world. And I do ask that you would submit yourself to the authority of your church. It doesn't mean now that you automatically just start praying for people in your church. Submit yourself to their authority. But I think you'll find that the churches will be appreciative of the fact that you've gone through some training, you're really submitting yourself, and that you want to see people get healed. Having said that, what did you observe about the way that I prayed? Because you all had your eyes open. You all watched, at least I hope. What did you observe about how I prayed? And now, who's going to be first? That's all. It just stunned silence. Yes, ma'am. I did pray in Jesus' name. Yeah, it's definitely not Bill. Bill is not the healer. I got that one a long time ago. He's the healer. I serve him. It's just like when Jesus rode into Jerusalem on the donkey. I'm just the donkey he rides in on. Really? That didn't translate, did it? So, okay, what else? What else did you observe? Yes, sir. How is that possible? It says in the Bible, close your eyes and bow your head. Surely it says it somewhere, because everybody does. I just haven't found it yet. So I don't know the Bible in whole. Maybe the pastor will know. Where did we get that, really? Let us pray. When you close your eyes, you can miss clues. And you notice that she was wobbly. Yes, you didn't fall down, but you were very definitely wobbly. Okay. You don't have to fall down to get healed. But they don't always fall backwards. Sometimes they fall forwards. And I've seen it happen in bonk. And now you got 2 people to pray for. I've gone to Asia quite a lot. I don't understand this, but for whatever reason, it seems many times the Asians collapse. They just go straight down. I don't know, but it seems to be almost like a cultural thing, almost anywhere in Asia that you go. So you need to keep your eyes open so you're watching what God is doing. If you don't keep your eyes open, you can miss a clue. My wife and I did ministry for a weekend kind of thing, kind of like what we're doing here this weekend. And so Sunday morning, we're about to walk out the door and drive home, and this gal stopped and said, oh, this has been so great. You know, would you just pray for me one more time? Sure. So we start to pray. I started with, come Holy Spirit. I want to make sure it's His agenda, not mine. And we're both just kind of doing what you just saw me do. But she starts manifesting because we were praying about we bless you and the love of the Father, fill your heart, etc. And it was something about the love of the Father that was touching an area of some woundedness. And so her face started twitching demonically, but you couldn't hear it. If we had had our eyes closed, we would have totally missed that. And as I said, sometimes they don't fall backwards, they fall forwards. So keep your eyes open. Now, my wife used to struggle with this. She said, well, I can't keep my eyes open all the time. I've got to close them. I get a vision, etc. Okay, close them sometimes, but keep your eyes open so that you watch what happens. I won't tell you the name, but I'll guarantee you it's somebody that you've heard of. He was praying for somebody He's a very strong Christian. Everybody knows him, travels the world, etc. He was praying for somebody, and he had his hands laid on the guy's head. And as he's got his eyes closed, he recognizes there's little giggling all around. And he opens up his eyes, and he sees that there is now a toupee hanging from his ring. Embarrassing. Awkward. Okay. What else did you notice? I mean, that was a really big one, and I have to give you kudos. I usually will have people give me 10 things that they saw, and they'll never say, and your eyes were open. Good for you. It's probably the hairstyle. Yeah. What else did you observe about the way I prayed? Thank you. Prayed with authority. Yeah. I try to stand on the Bible. I try to pray because I've done this a lot. I was down in Brazil. One of the things I loved to do was just like Jesus. Jesus brought the disciples along. He went out, prayed for the sick, came back. Now you see what I did? Now you go out and do it. And he brings them alongside so that when he leaves, he said, you're going to do the things that I did and even greater. I go to the Father, and it's to your advantage because I'm going to send the Holy Spirit. So I like to bring people alongside of me and train them and have them move up. So I'm praying for this woman. She's got 5 discs out of whack. She's in just excruciating pain, if you can imagine that. And there's about an 11-year-old girl standing over here kind of watching. And I said, you, come here. So I just want you to lay hands right there on the disc, and I'm going to pray a little bit. And then you're going to pray. And it was like, oh, me? No. So I pray, you know, in the name of Jesus, spine straightened, disc go in, blah, blah, blah. I said, okay, now you do it. And it was kind of like, in Portuguese, but I know pretty much what she's saying, but it was the manner. In the name of Jesus, I speak to that spine and all the vertebrae and the disc and just, and Jesus and come into order, Jesus. So we stopped. I said, how are you doing? She said, you know, I'm able to move a little bit. It's about 50% better. I said, good. Thank you, Lord. But we want more. Okay, let's pray again. And so I wondered what she was going to be like. All of a sudden, she sticks out her hand. And it was like she had just come under the anointing for Bill Johnson or Heidi Baker or something. In the name of Jesus, I command that spine to straighten. Those discs go in the name of Jesus. And the next thing you know, the woman is bending over, totally healed, and then hugging this little girl. 11-year-old girl just caught it. Just caught it. If she can catch it, you can catch it. What else did you see? Quickly? Anything else?
Yep.
Yes, ma'am. I wasn't loud and boastful and...
You were just normal.
Oh, thank you for saying that. I'll be honest with you. I know that there is somewhat of a distrust of us American evangelists, healing people, etc. And it's well deserved. Too many of us are loud, pushy, arrogant. We're American. I know I'm trying to break that mold, but what you just said was the nicest thing that a pastor said to me and my wife early on in our ministry as we were traveling around. We had been a weekend of, you know, with teaching and training, kind of what I'm doing here this weekend. And Sunday night we're going to do a healing service. We're coming out of the restaurant, going to the car, and it's going to be the last meeting. And the guy said, you know, we can tell God is with you. We can tell there's some anointing there. But you're just so ordinary. But you make us believe we can do this too. Yeah. See, that's the thing. Too often we try to work something up. We get all emotional. You've seen Pentecostal people do that. And look, I've never met Benny Hinn, but I've been in some meetings with him, and he has prayed for me. If Benny Hinn wants to throw his white coat at me, I'm okay with that. That's just not my style. My mentor was very gentle, normal, good guy, the same guy at 2 o'clock in the morning back in the hotel room that you would see on the platform. There was no pretense. And I picked that up, and I got to be real, and that's really what I'm going to talk about tonight. I want to be normal and relatable. So I appreciate that. I really do. One more. Anybody else? Yes, ma'am.
Okay. I just thought you were really good at giving Angela space. Okay. You feel really comfortable.
Okay. Gave her space, made her comfortable.
Yeah, just time to reflect on who's going to receive from Jesus.
Yeah. Cool. I like that. Thank you. Thank you. Appreciate that. Okay. So what it is not getting all emotional. What I kind of tell people is, you know, when you get healed, we'll just shout it to the rooftops. But for right now, don't pray. Just receive. Because too many of us, we get into that Pentecostal charismatic mode. Oh, God, oh, thank you, God. Oh, I love you. Oh, God, bring your healing. Oh, Lord. We're giving out, and he's trying to kiss us with the kisses of his mouth. That's what it says in the Song of Solomon. He's trying to pour in, and we're trying to pour out. Men, have you ever tried to kiss your wife and either you're talking or they're talking? It doesn't work. It does not work. Well, he's... Okay. So, makes sense? It's all good? All right. Let me show you, teach you, speak to you about my subject tonight, and then we're going to do some prayer ministry. Is that okay? And when I say we're going to do some prayer ministry, what I really mean is you're going to do some prayer ministry. Can I there's something here that, oh yeah, okay, can I just do this? I got to come down here, and I'm going to spill these, I can tell. Yeah, I've got to be closer to you. See, the pulpit up there is for real pastors, and I haven't yet gotten to there. Okay, now that just made my thing go away. It's not complicated. That really is the title of my message tonight. It's not complicated. Keep it simple. For me, being a very strong, left-brain, analytical kind of guy, this is how I had to work this out. As I said, I got impacted by God, and the first person I prayed for got healed, and then I was like a rocket ship. I was reading and learning and going to ministry training sessions, kind of like this. I got so excited about God really does heal. God's really real. I have a relationship with him. I got delivered from the demonic stuff that had ensnared me. I saw a different gospel than I had heard, because I had not heard the true gospel. So for me, I had to work it out. Okay, I don't understand all this. And my little left brain, you know, some of you are very much left brain. You're analytical, you're logic, you like things in order. And some of you are very much right brain. You're very artistic, very, very, my wife used to say, beautiful. You flow in a different way. But he uses both of us, and he needs both of us. So here's how I had to work it out. So if this helps somebody. Exodus 15:26, I am the Lord who heals you. Right there, he establishes his character. Then we have Jesus come on the scene. The thing I love about Jesus, he was never the one-man show. It was never about just him. He trained up and brought 12 disciples to him, the most dysfunctional people who ever walked the planet, which is really good. If he had chosen only the kings and the princes and the scholars and the good-looking ones and the guys with hair, then we would compare ourselves... But he chose illiterate fishermen. He chose somebody who was a doubter. He chose somebody who had obviously some issues with theft, who didn't deal with his issues. And then he chose Peter. Right there, Peter is our example of, if God can use anybody, he can use me. Matthew 10:7-8. If you're involved in the healing ministry, want to be involved in the healing ministry, that's your marching orders. Heal the sick, cleanse the leper, raise the dead, cast out demons. Freely you've received, now freely give. That's really our marching orders. In Mark 16, these signs will follow those who believe. That believers in the room? Okay. Okay, we, at least five. That's good. That's a good start. I know my American humor. You'll get used to it. But it can't help but be different. Come on, you're English and I'm American, sort of. These signs will follow those who believe. They will lay hands on the sick and they will recover. In Matthew 28, we all know this as the great suggestion. Matthew 28. The great, pretty good idea. That maybe you might want to try. No, it's the great commission. All authority is given to me. Go, make disciples. Bring somebody alongside of you, teaching them to obey all the things that I have commanded you. It is said that there's something like 49 commands in the Bible. And some of them are really easy, and some of them are really hard. The hard ones are love your neighbor, love yourself, turn the cheek. The easy ones are heal the sick, cleanse the leper, raise the dead, cast out demons, because you can't do it. It says that Jesus emptied himself of what it meant to be God. Meaning, the miracles he did as man. If he did the miracles only as God, then we start to have a problem because we're not God. And we're not going to be God. He emptied himself of what it meant to be God, did miracles. Yes, he was Jesus. He was fully God. He was fully man. But he brought disciples alongside of himself. He said, I brought my kingdom with me. You need to change the way you think. That word in the Greek is metanoia. That word literally in repentance. When Paul talks about in Romans 2:4, it's his goodness that leads to repentance. That word repentance, in that particular case, it means to change the way you think, and you'll change and turn away from sin. When it's used in the Old Testament, it is talking about coming away from sin. Mark 16:20. This one is really important to me. The Lord worked with them and confirmed the word through accompanying signs. The Lord worked with them. Too many times, we as prayer ministers, and the reality is we are all prayer ministers. You just may not pastor a church, but we're all, and you may not be on the prayer ministry team, but we're all prayer ministers taking the power and the presence and the love of God everywhere we go. So that we get so filled with His presence that we make a difference, that we spill. I recognize sometimes when people come to multiple meetings, like two different places, so I know there's some people in here who heard me talk about this particular story already, and sorry about that, but I need to repeat it for the rest of the people. Bethel Church in Redding, California. Many of you have heard of that? Yes? Yes. Okay. The worship leader is Brian Johnson, is Bill Johnson's son. I got to meet Brian in 1998, 99, when he was a teenager. And I just love this story about him. He was always a worshiper. Loved to play the guitar. He would go to the local mall, the shopping area. Yeah, we're debating how you pronounce that. And he wouldn't get in the way of the aisle or anything like that. He wouldn't cause a disturbance. He'd go over to the side, just sit down on the floor, and just begin worshiping with an acoustic guitar. He was creating a zone. You know, you can be so filled with the power and the presence and the love of God that you literally spill. It flows out. And so he's worshiping, creating a zone. A young man comes walking through, hits the zone, reaches in his pocket, takes out his drugs, throws them on the floor, stomps on them, and walks on. We can create a zone. You can be so filled with the presence of God that you make a difference. It's like you bring your peace into that restaurant where the couple is arguing. And you start to just release that peace. You're not doing anything that's overt. You're just releasing the peace that's in you, and you start to see a difference. I've been able to see that quite often, and I love that. But too often we look at this and say, well, it's all about me. We do have that performance mode. Amen? I know I certainly had it when I came in to the ministry. I finally have learned it really is not about me. There's been times when I've gone into a meeting and I've literally said, well, if anybody gets healed tonight, it'll definitely be the Lord, because I do not feel any anointing. And so far, he's been very gentle with me. It's like, you're right, son. It isn't about you. It's about that person standing in front of you whom I love. And I've sent you as my representative to represent me. You're just the donkey that I'm going to ride in on. And your job is to stick out your hand. And you don't get all proud when they get healed, and you don't get all depressed if they don't. Because you don't know what I'm about to do. They could be healed later tonight, tomorrow. They could be progressive, that I'm setting it up, that you start it, and then somebody else finishes it. You just don't know. Your job is to stick out your hand and say, "Come, Holy Spirit," and recognize that He's the healer, not you. When you start to really get into that mindset, it takes all that performance away. And I know I struggled that when I started. But see, in 1 Corinthians 3:7, it says that we co-labor with Him. We are in partnership with Him. So when we pray, and I'm asking somebody, like in this case with Angela, I'm asking, listening to what she's saying in my one ear and listening to what the Lord is trying to say to me in the other ear. And so there's times when I've prayed for somebody and I've had to step back and say, "Am I missing something, Lord? What's going on here? Why am I not getting the results that I want?" And so I start listening to the Lord. John 10:25, "The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness to me." John 10:37, "If I don't do the works of the Father, don't believe me." Wow. John 5:30, "I do not seek my own will, but the will of my Father who sent me." I'm really going somewhere with this so that you get this. John 14:9, "Anyone who has seen me has seen the Father." Okay. Jesus said, "The Father and I are one. If you've seen me, you've seen the Father. I came to do the will of my Father." The leper in Mark chapter 1 comes to Jesus and says, "If you are willing, you can make me clean." And Jesus says back, "I am willing." It's not a trick question. Does he say, "I am willing"?
Yes.
Okay, thank you. So I'm down in Brazil years ago, and I do this. I know that, you know, they're not going to say back "willing" in English, they're Portuguese. So I'm expecting something, though. So I say, and Jesus said, "I am," and I expected them to say something, and they said nothing. So I turned to my translator and I said, "Did you translate that right?" "Yeah, every word." "Well, why aren't they saying anything?" "Because our Bible doesn't say that." "Well, what does your Bible say?" "It says, 'I want to.'" Then I went to Japan. Bible doesn't say "willing" or "want to." It says, "It's my heart to." Come on, if we start to get that, He's willing, He wants to, it's His heart to, it's who He is, and He can't help Himself. So what is the will of the Father regarding healing? His will is to heal. Why doesn't everybody get healed? I'm going to teach you three words you need to know to be in prayer ministry, particularly the healing ministry. I want you to repeat them after me.
I don't.
No. But does everybody get saved? Okay, here's how I had to settle it for me. All right? If this helps you at all. The will of the Father is to heal. We live in a fallen, sinful, toxic world. We have an enemy, and the enemy is real. And he doesn't like us. Well, he doesn't like anybody. Probably doesn't even like himself. But we have an enemy, and he's real. And then sometimes we make bad decisions, bad choices, okay? Sometimes what we eat, what we do, what we don't go to the doctor, whatever. Those three factors really amount to that people would not get healed. Sometimes there's bad teaching. They don't believe in it. There's so many different reasons, but the reality is healing is a mystery. And I don't understand it all, that I pray for somebody and they get healed, and I've only prayed for a minute. And I pray for somebody else for an hour, and maybe I intercede and pray for them for multiple times, and they don't get healed. I don't understand that. And here's where it really helped me. You know, the Bible talks about the peace that passes all understanding. What I heard was this: if your need to understand is so great, then you'll never have the peace that surpasses understanding. Okay, that's going to hit some of you about 2 o'clock this morning. I have this incredible need to understand. I really do. I'm left brain analytical. Everything should work, you know, A, B, C, D. I don't know about you, but I'm still looking for the formula. To me, the formula is not in that 5-step model. I want the formula. You do this, you do this, you do this, you get this. And I'm going to keep on looking, but the reality is, I don't think there is one. And you never see Jesus pray in the same way twice. The Holy Spirit is in you for you, but He's upon you for somebody else. He's called us into prayer ministry. As the Father sent me, Jesus says, I'm sending you. So we have an assignment, and that assignment has come down through all generations. So here's the challenge. Why worry about what you would say? Can God use me? I haven't worshipped enough, etc., etc. You can't heal a headache, much less cancer. So why are you so hung up on all these restrictions when it's all about God to begin with? It's not about you. It's about what the Lord wants to do, and He's chosen to partner with you and me. Imperfect vessels giving away His love. I was a very successful commercial real estate agent, I think, and I also did some development. I think the biggest deal I ever did, commission-wise, was about $250,000 in 1988. That's some pretty good money. I don't know what that equates to in pounds, but that's pretty good money. I know I'd like to have it now. And it's not as much money now as it was, but that was my biggest deal. I got to tell you, praying for somebody and seeing their ears open, praying for somebody and seeing their eyes open, praying for somebody and see them stand up straight for the first time, to get out of the wheelchair, or to have the woman who knows that the baby in her abdomen, her belly, is dead. And she has an appointment tomorrow to have the doctor take it out. And to pray over that woman as she was weeping, and then get the phone call the next day. Doctor came out scratching his head. That's the anointing I really like. I'm all for the medical profession. But to have the doctor scratching the head saying, I don't understand it, but the sonogram says that baby is alive, heartbeat, everything. That baby was born. That woman was my mortgage broker as I was buying a house. And I was back in that area just a couple of months ago. And the friend of mine who owned that office showed me a picture of the 14-year-old boy. Look, yeah, I'd like to have $250,000, but that right there is worth everything. Amen. Okay, here again, I'm going to ask you to be honest, because He knows. How many of you are afraid to pray for somebody because what if nothing happens? Okay, thank you for being honest. You're afraid to pray for somebody because what if nothing happens? Well, nothing is already happening. So what have you got to lose? Now, let me give you a tip. Let me give you a secret. And yes, this is a commercial. That's why these trips, and I happen to be only going to Brazil. Sometimes I go to Colombia. Sometimes I go to Austria or Germany. But I'm only going to Brazil this year. That's why these trips are so good. You get to go to a foreign country you may never go to again, see people that you may never see again. You get to practice. You get to do things that you wouldn't do here. And you get to see things that work and maybe things that don't work. But you get to step out of your comfort zone. If you want to see miracles, if you want to see miracles in your life, it'll be in and un. Inconvenient and, I forgot the un. Uncomfortable, yeah. In and un. Inconvenient and uncomfortable. Step out of your comfort zone. I can't tell you how many times I've stepped out of my comfort zone. And you don't have to beg. That implies that you have more mercy than Jesus. Sometimes people get all emotional. Oh, God, would you heal this faithful servant of yours who went on the mission field and They've just suffered for you, Jesus. Oh, heal them. You're praying on their merits, not his. You don't have to beg. So you take your rightful place as a steward of a heavenly realm, and you place demand on heaven, not in an arrogant way, but as someone who has the privilege, and you get to step into that. Amen? Amen. All right. That's my encouragement to you and a little bit of training. So let's do this. If you have any kind of pain in your shoulder, arm, elbow, wrist, fingers, right or left, anything up in this area, not the neck, but in this area, but sometimes the neck does affect this. But if you've got problems in the shoulders, that kind of thing, would you just please stand up? Okay, let's open it up just a little bit. If you have a headache right now, or if you have neck pain, please stand up and join these. Okay. Okay. If you are in the middle of the seats, like you two are, come stand out here. If you're on the edge or in your front row, that's okay. But if you're in the middle, step out into the aisle, step where somebody can get to you. Okay? Now is your chance to step out of your comfort zone and do something bold. Like you are going to step around and you're going to pray with her, for her. So yeah, you're just going to step out of your comfort zone. Men to men, women to women, I don't really care about that, but we want to honor that. I want one person to go stand next to these people who are standing. I don't want you to pray yet. I just want you to go stand with them, indicating, I am with you. I'm going to be praying for you under his direction. Everybody understand? You might need to get out of your chair. It might be the person right in front of you. It might be next to you. But if you've never done this before, why not try? What have you got to lose? I'm going to direct the prayer. Okay, if you do not have somebody who comes to you quickly, raise your hand and I will get somebody there. If you don't have somebody who's come alongside of you, somebody comes to the path. There we go, right there. This couple is going to come. Anybody else? You need somebody to come to you. You don't have anybody yet. I got a lady back here. There you go. And I've got a gentleman back here. And we got him. So is everybody covered? Okay. Nobody's praying yet. You have 20 seconds to find out where it hurts. Maybe how long you've had that. Where does it hurt? How did it happen? 20 seconds. This is not a life history. It's 20 seconds. This is not Sozo. It's 20 seconds. And that's all I'm going to give you, and I don't want anybody praying. Just find out where it hurts. Go. 20 seconds. Okay, shh, 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 you should now know, you should now know exactly where it hurts. I want the person who's being prayed for to put their hand where it hurts. If there's too many places that it hurts and you don't have enough hands, just put it where it hurts the most. I want the people who are going to be praying, I want you to listen to me. The reason I have them put their hand where it hurts is so that you can make sure you're touching appropriately. So I'm going to ask you to put your hand to touch very gently on their hand. I don't want anybody praying yet. I want the person who is being prayed for to close their eyes and relax. And don't pray right now. Just receive. The person who is praying, I want you to be mindful of the fact that the presence of God can come so that if they get wobbly, you can be your catcher. I want you to keep your eyes open as much as you can. I want you to speak directly to the situation. So maybe it's the neck, maybe it's the shoulders, maybe it's a headache, maybe it's the fingers. You would say something like, Holy Spirit, come. I speak to that wrist, that carpal tunnel thing, go away. Everything be made new. Holy Spirit, come. I bless the wrist. Something like that. Listen to what God is speaking to you and also what the person has told you about where the pain is, how long, etc., etc. Keep your eyes open. Speak loud enough so that the person can hear you, but not so loud that you disturb people around you. And you're only going to have about a minute and a half or so to pray. Go. So Holy Spirit, come all over this room. Release the power of God. Release a fresh anointing. We speak to the muscles, ligaments, and tendons of the arm, the wrist, the shoulders. We bless what you are doing, Lord. More, Lord. More, Lord. We break the power of anything that is not of the Lord Jesus. I break off anything of fear, doubt, confusion, and unbelief. Lord, release your healing anointing all over this room. Release the power of God, the love of God, the mercy of God. We bless what you're doing in the name of Jesus. Let the fire of God flow through these precious people into these other precious people who need your healing touch in the name of Jesus. You've got 10 seconds to begin wrapping it up and bless them. Okay, everybody stop. Stop praying. Now let me have your attention. Okay? Everybody stop praying. If you got prayed for, I want you to look at me. I want you to move your body. I don't want you to hurt yourself, but I want you to move your body. Whatever was wrong, move it. The reason I ask you to do that is because there are many times when people get healed, but they didn't feel anything. And they don't know they're healed until they actually put their faith in action. Check your body, and if you can say, I just received a measure of healing. At this point, I don't care if it's 1% to 100%. If you just received a measure of healing, wave at me and keep on waving. This young lady right here is kind of waving. She seems to be excited. Thank you, Lord. Pastor is waving. This lady's waving, sort of. Wave, yeah. Like you're excited. Like you've had that problem for a long time, and you're giving praise to Jesus. Wow. Keep waving. Keep waving. I want to get a count. Keep waving. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13. At least 13. Okay. Shh. Who would say that you had a pretty dramatic increase? Maybe it's at least 50% better, or maybe the pain is 50% less, or you couldn't do something, but now you can. If that's you, wave, jump, do whatever you're doing. Okay. All right. Shh. I know the lady back here, and I know this lady, and I know there's a guy back there. I'm trying to remember. Okay. The gentleman in the red sweater, something just happened to you? Tell me real loud. Yeah.
And, well,
and how are you now?
The headache's gone. Very nearly.
Yeah, very nearly gone. Okay, thank you. And the lady in green?
I've had a rheumatic pain in this wrist and finger for about 4 or 5 months. It hurt when I twist it or lift any weights. So it doesn't hurt at all.
Doesn't hurt at all. We call that healing. Okay, while I get some more testimonies. You've just received a healing. Go lay hands on his neck. You don't even have to say anything to him. Just go lay hands on his neck. Now, I saw some people back here. The gentleman back here with the white T-shirt on, I think you waved at me?
Yes.
Okay, tell me what happened.
He It's better already. It's not 100%, but it's definitely better.
Okay, that's good. Cool. And yes, the lady jumping up and down. Yes, tell me. You couldn't do that. Okay, so we were praying for arms and things like that, but you're saying your hip? You're saying your hip got healed too? Okay, we call that collateral blessing. Yeah, exactly. Okay, there were about three others over here that you raised your hand that it was pretty dramatic. Yes, sir, tell me.
Shoulder,
yeah?
And it's almost completely.
Thank you, Lord. I'll come to you. This is just kind of your weekend, isn't it?
Seems to be.
Yeah, so what's going on now?
There was still some neck pain, shoulder pain, but arm pain left.
Yes. Wow. Okay. Now, okay. The young lady in red, hair. Okay. But right now it's red. So you've been in the school of healing and ministry. Heidi Baker has personally mentored you. Bill Johnson, Randy Clark. Uh-huh.
That had been temporarily, and then on November the 11th, I had received permanent full physical healing.
Right.
And so in that time, I just got fully proved in.
Yeah. So you've done this before.
Bits and pieces,
right. Is there anybody who prayed for somebody and they said, you know, I'm better, but this is really new for you? I mean, really new, that you don't do this all the time. Is that, who is that besides you? Come on, now be honest. Be honest. You don't do this all the time, like at least every week. How many of you prayed for somebody and there was an improvement, but this is not normal for you? You don't do this every week. The rest of you are seasoned veterans? I think we can go home. Right here. Yes. Tell me, young lady.
Well, I love the way it says young. My arms ache because of exercises, actually, but they have the after effects, which usually last days. I'm almost like 4 days on, you know.
Yeah.
It's almost gone. But the beauty of this lady also played to the bone.
Uh huh.
And my knees were cracking, you know, like they do after I've done a workout.
Uh huh. All right. Awesome. Everybody may go sit down. We're going to move on to something else, and then I think we're going to do one more category. Okay. Incidentally, if there are any churches here that want to move further into healing and feel like you could benefit from training. Valerie, who lives over in Brighton, was the prayer ministry trainer at Toronto for over 7 years. Yeah, six? Okay. She probably is more like 7 years. She's been around this forever, but she was responsible for the prayer ministry at Toronto, which was incredible. And so I would really encourage you, if your church needs more prayer ministry training, she was just excellent, because I can't come over every week. And you can't afford to bribe me enough, although I would listen. If you have any kind of problem from the waist down, hips, whatever that is, the leg, the knees, the shins, the calf, the Achilles, the feet, the arch, the toes, anything from the waist down. Would you please stand up? Okay, if you are in the middle of the aisle and we can't get to you, would you just step out somewhere? And I'm going to have some room in this aisle. So you might just come stand right over here in the, if you're in the middle. All right. That's good. Come on. Just you can even go over there. Okay, if you just received, keep going, because I need us to be able to get through here. Yeah, you can come over here. If you just received any healing, any measure of healing, I want you to come up here quickly, quickly. Yeah, Red, come on. Red, I want you, even though you didn't get healed, I want you to come up here. Yeah. And want the couple from Hong Kong. Yeah, okay, that's good. All right, just come right over here so I know who you are. Okay. Y'all just hang loose, okay? Yeah, come on, you're in here. Okay. Okay. I want you to listen to me, all right? You are my prayer team. We're going to do it in a different way. You do not have time to fall in love with any of these people. The very same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead dwells inside of you. You carry the Spirit and the love and the power and the mercy and the grace of Jesus. And when there are a lot of people standing, we don't have time to pray 15 minutes for every person. So it's all things made new. Be healed in the name of Jesus. Lord, heal that shoulder. In the name of Jesus, heal that hip. In the name of Jesus, all things be made new. Be healed in the name of Jesus. You're going to rotate. You're going to touch as many people as you can. You're going to touch a lot of people, and you cannot stay with anyone longer than 10 seconds. So it's literally, I bless you in the name of Jesus. Be healed. I bless that shoulder. I bless that hip. I bless that foot. Whatever. Because they're going to have their hands open. You're not going to really know what it is you're praying for. He knows. That's why it's so much that it shows it's not about us. Okay? Some of you are going to be in the back. You're going to be on the side. And you're going to rotate. You're just going to find as many people as possible. And this little front row here is really easy because you're just going to go down the row. And lots of people are going to touch you. And nobody gets the glory because nobody knows who is responsible for it except him. Isn't that cool? Okay. Now, there's still a couple of people here, so I just need room. Okay. And the people who are still standing, and we're going to get to you. We're going to have to get through here, so maybe a little opening. That's good. That's good. So we're going to get to you. We're going to get to anybody who's over here. You're going to spread over and you're going to keep rotating. But we're only going to do this for about 2 minutes. Okay? Holy Spirit, anoint these people who have received already a measure of healing. Bless them and use them powerfully. And Lord, let there be healing in the hips, the legs, the knees, the calves, the ankle, the Achilles. Lord, I stand on the power of the testimony of that man last year in the church that I go to when I'm not traveling, who the doctors had said his Achilles tendon was shredded. He was in a boot cast, and they said, we're going to have to do surgery. And don't put any weight on it. He was on crutches and a boot cast. And he literally threw the boot cast away and walked out of the church. Never had surgery. Totally healed. Okay. Close your eyes. Relax. Hold open your hands. Everybody understand? Okay, some of you go to the back. Some go to the front right here. Some go to the side over here. Begin to go. And I'm going to pray over you as you go. Holy Spirit, come. We release the power of God. All things made new in the hips. All things made new in the knees, the lateral meniscus and the ACL. Those of you who are still seated, stretch your hands toward these. Let's see the power of God. Let's see the power of God come into hips. All things made new in the name of Jesus. Hips, legs, toes,
arches grow in the name of Jesus. We bless what you're doing, Lord. More, more. Let the fire of God fall in this room. More, Lord. We bless what you're doing. All things made new. Be healed in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. More, Lord. Just keep moving. Just keep touching. You're releasing the power of God. You are releasing the power of God. All things made new. Hips, calves, knees, ankles. More, Lord. Achilles, arches grow in the name of Jesus. Hips come into order. Hips come into alignment in the name of Jesus. That the name of Jesus would be held in high esteem. More, Lord. More. We bless what you are doing. More, Lord. More. 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 Yeah, okay. Took the wrong angle. More, Lord. Increase. Increase. Thank you, Lord, for what you're doing. Were you in church the other night? Okay, your sister was. Yeah. Thank you, Lord. More. I don't know what he's carrying, but he's loaded. Yeah. And he got healed. He was right over there. He's carrying something.
A husband.
Oh, that's...
A husband.
The guy in the... Oh. He's carrying something. He's loaded. Okay, you got about 10 more seconds. 10 more seconds. Okay. 10 more seconds. Touch as many as you can, but you only have 10 seconds. Okay, stop praying. My prayer team, just kind of stay where you are, but kind of get out of the way from the people who were prayed for so that we can see who's what. Okay, check your body. Let me have your attention. Open your eyes. Stand up if you can. If you can't, don't worry about it. I want you to check your body. Bend down, move your knees, your ankle, your feet, jump, run. I don't care what you need to do to check your body. I just don't want you to hurt yourself. But I want you to check your body and see what improvement there may have been. And if you can say during that prayer, for the hips down, you just received a measure of healing. I want you to wave at me and keep waving. Keep waving. Any measure of healing. Any measure of healing. Any measure of healing. All right. Going to try to remember. Okay. We'll start way back here. Yes. There was somebody back here waving their hand, but I don't know who. Somebody back there was... Okay, yes, it was you. Sciatica. Yeah.
A lot better.
Hey, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Anybody else on that side that I missed? Okay. There were several of you back here. One of them was the gentleman in the sweater. Have reduced. Thank you, Lord. Did you two wave at me? Yeah, tell me real loud.
I'm pretty sure the pain in my knees has lessened and I've got a bit more.
You got a little more.
I was scared to put any bounce in it.
Yeah. You got a little more skip in your giddy up.
Yeah.
Now, I can imagine that doesn't translate at all, but. And you?
Just more relaxation in the bones, in the legs, feeling less debilitated. Really good, you know. Thank you. Thank the Lord.
And how are you doing?
I fell on my knees and they hurt. I hurt before, but I hurt.
Now, wait a minute. What were you up here to be prayed for?
Knees.
Your knees. And you fell on your knees?
Yeah.
Well, that's not nice. Yeah. And it hurts?
It hurts, yeah, a little bit, but...
Okay.
The swelling's going, they swell.
Yeah. But the swelling's going down?
It's a little bit, yeah.
Yeah.
Not so...
Okay. Okay. Can you stand? Everybody else go sit down for a moment. Can you stand up? And can I have a couple of people behind her just in case? And help her up. Yeah.
Watch my husband.
Yeah. All right. Yeah. Just kind of somebody. And come here, Red. Okay. Come face me like this.
Simon knows me.
Yes, you're good. No, I want you. No, I want you. Yeah, yeah. Let's move you around. Face this way. And Red, you come over here in front. Red, yeah. And y'all just stay right there. Sir, how are you doing?
Yeah,
fine. Is something happening?
Apart from being stuck to the floor, but no.
I believe you said you're stuck to the floor.
Yeah.
Okay, I don't know about you, but I don't understand that. But it happened to my wife, so I do know it's real.
I think there's something about that particular space in the floor. I've been stuck there before. I fully believe him.
So you came up here because you had problems in your, what, hip, knees, feet, what?
Feet.
Your feet. Mm-hmm. And how are your feet now?
Burning.
And you're starting to vibrate a little bit. So how does that feel?
Strange.
Have you ever done this before?
Yeah.
Well, you're doing it again. Would you say this is a good thing?
Probably.
Okay. Well, you're good. All right. Relax. Close your eyes. And stand in the anointing as much as you can. Okay, Red, just lay your hands on her knees gently. Yeah, actually touch them. There you go. Stretch your hands. Let's just, she hurt her knees when she fell down. Yeah. The lady in the blonde. Yeah, you. Just, yeah, come here. Yeah, you. Okay, just kind of sit down and lay hands on one of those knees, but just be really gently. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. I'm going to discuss tomorrow morning why I'm doing this, so you got to come back. I speak to the knees, to the muscles, ligaments, and tendons. I command every bit of pain to go. I break the power of anything that is not of the Lord Jesus. Lord, while she was getting healed, she actually got hurt. Kind of the enemy kind of came in there. And so we say that's illegal. We speak your healing touch over her right now. The myth says if it's God, you can't get hurt. And that's what it is. It's a myth. Many times when the power of God comes, people, they fall, they shake, whatever. They don't get hurt. But that happened to my wife. And we were in a denomination that didn't do this kind of stuff. We had never seen anybody fall. And that night she fell and it was a hard floor. Nobody caught her because they didn't know anything about catching. They didn't know that could happen. And so she did get hurt. But the outcome of was when she came home, because I went home 10 minutes before her, because I had to go process what had happened to me for 3 hours. When they told me, my daughter and her, that her jaw was almost swollen shut, it was all red, purple, a lot of pain, I instinctively raised my hand, and she fell out again, but we caught her this time. In the middle of the night, she wakes up, and all the pain's gone, all the swelling's gone, she can move her mouth, totally healed. The next morning when we woke up together, she told me that. And I said, yeah, I know. And I don't know how I knew, but I knew. So, yes, she got hurt, but it launched me into a healing ministry, and she got healed. So we just rebuked the enemy that would try to attack even as she was getting relief from these knees. Okay, I want you to stay in this place of receiving, but I want you to kind of test your knees a little bit. I don't want you to hurt yourself, but I just want to see if there's any improvement or if there's any pain from when you fell onto your knees.
It's like I can feel like a warm, like running water in my knees. It's like,
feel like warm, it's like running water. That sounds soothing. Does that sound healing?
Yeah.
Could you walk before without pain, or was it kind of hard?
Yeah. I could walk without pain.
Yeah.
It's just that they hurt. And towards the end of the day, the swelling was really bad. I'd have to elevate my legs.
Okay. All right. It's all good? Better? Mm. Better. Thank you, Lord. Yeah, so you don't, when something like that happens, you don't want to just leave them. You want to try to get some relief. Yeah. Okay. And bless you. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Go back to your seat. Okay. Don't go away. I need you to face me, you two.
As an up. Yeah. And let me have somebody else right behind her. And you're right here. You're right there. And somebody else right there. Yeah. Okay. Just relax. Hold out your hands. Close your eyes. Stretch your hands toward them. I feel like I am seeing, and I couldn't describe how it is that I know, but I feel like I'm seeing a healing anointing on these two. So, God, get them. I mean, you did it to me. I shouldn't be the only one to reap those benefits. Holy Spirit, come and release the fire of God. Holy Spirit, come. Holy Spirit, come right now with power, with fire, with fire, with fire. Fresh fire in...
I'm too warm. It's making me really warm.
You do have something under... Yes, you do. You don't often see that where... It would kind of be like the patient, excuse me, doctor, let me take over here. More. Take it, take it, take it, take it, take it. Yeah, this.
I'm going to fall.
Take it. Breathe in. Stop thinking. Stop thinking. Stop thinking. Just take it. Breathe in. Breathe in. The fire of God's all over you. Fire of God's all over you. More, Lord. Now, don't step back. Take it like a woman. Come on. Now, this is called the Norwegian shuffle. Plant your feet. I'm not pushing you over. Plant your feet. I got a big, strong guy behind you. Just take it. Holy Spirit, come. 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 More, Lord. More. More. Increase. Increase. Lord, let them never be the same again. Never the same again. Never the same again, either one of them. I'm going to show you a picture tomorrow morning of a 21-year-old Aussie whose life got radically changed. She had prayed for a lot of people and nobody had gotten healed, but I saw the healing anointing on her and I prayed and prophesied all weekend long for her. And the picture you we'll see tomorrow, we'll show you the dramatic effect of what those prayers were for. And then, you know, she went back to work. She worked at a grocery store, and I thought, you know, you'll be fired by the end of the week, because she was now laying hands on everything that moved. Tomorrow morning we'll be back here at
10:30.
Yeah. Oh, thank you. I get to sleep in a little bit. We'll be back at 10:30 and then again at 2:00. Two sessions. I'm going to teach on some things that I've learned along the way about healing and prayer ministry, and I'm going to talk in the afternoon about the power of the testimony and how important it is. And there will be prayer ministry along the way, pretty much like what we saw. So I bless you guys. I thank you. I think I'm about 2 minutes past my anointing, so I need to stop. And I will turn it over to the pastor. Thank you so much for coming. I'm so blessed, because I know some of you came from other places and other churches. I would encourage you, talk to your friends. Send them tomorrow. Tomorrow's going to be really good, really fun, very, very instrumental. And I think you'll get a lot out of it. And so we just want to be blessed. And we want to bless this church. Amen.